I'm a firm believer in what you put out comes back to you tenfold. And so, you know, you have to lead with that integrity. I think another misconception about sales is that it's a pitch and not a conversation.
Oh, wow.
You know, and a lot of people are still doing that, right?
Welcome to Brave by Design. I'm your host, Laura Khalil. I'm an entrepreneur, coach, and speaker. I love thinking big, exploring the power of personal development, and sharing the best strategies from thought leaders and pioneers in business to empower ambitious women and allies to bravely rise and thrive. Let's get started.
Everyone, welcome to this episode of Brave by Design. I cannot wait for us to have this conversation with our guest today, Allison Davis. She is a sales coach and trainer. She has nearly 20 years of sales experience at companies like Nat Geo and Gabrielle Bernstein. And I know you guys have heard of Gabrielle Bernstein. Her down-to-earth, approachable take on sales appeals to passionate entrepreneurs and mission-driven business owners. I have had the pleasure of experiencing Allison's work myself. I absolutely love it. She is not like a slimy salesperson. She is genuine. She is authentic. And she's here to help us make sales conversations easier. Allison, welcome to Brave by Design.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And ditto, all of those accolades right back at you.
Oh, thank you. So tell us a little bit more about how you actually got into this career.
It's such a good question and a nice question to be asked. And the first thing that popped to mind is that there was really no other pathway for me. When I was a child, my parents, mostly my dad, started his own business. You know, he had an entrepreneurial spirit and he was a salesman. And by
what
the time
was he selling?
This is about to be a very dry conversation. But my father started out paving people's driveways or the driveways of small businesses. So
okay.
Seal coating, line striping for anyone who's familiar. But my dad also had an associate's degree in engineering. And he, over time, developed a really in-depth knowledge of bridge joints.
Whoa.
And so,
stop
yeah.
the presses.
Okay. Whoa. This is a hot topic, hot take right here, bridge joints. But he grew a business quite sizably with the help of my two much older brothers. And by the time I was, dare I say, 12 years old, he mm-hmm. would set me up at the front receptionist desk at the office. He would give me a list of phone numbers to call. I barely remember what I was asking, but I realized that I was gathering some information that was pertinent to the sales aspect of what was going on. And I realized that that was getting over my fear of cold calling right then and there.
At 12 years old?
Yeah, I had this voice.
Did you really?
I did. You know, Laura, I don't know if you know this about me, but I was a radio DJ from the age of 16 to 21.
OMG. I love it.
Outgoing child, you know? Yeah. And by the time I got to college, I loved writing, studied journalism. But even then, even with my wonderful professors pleading to keep me on the right side of things, I was like, nope, my personality is geared towards sales, PR, that kind of thing. And almost my first job out of college was as a salesperson at a really cool weekly newspaper in Burlington, Vermont. And
okay.
I was there for 9 years. And
wow.
And I loved it. I fell in love with selling. I fell in love with meeting people, with helping people, and providing services that
Allison, wait, let me yeah. stop you there, because you said I fell in love with selling.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't hear that a lot. I hear more often people say, okay, I'm about to vomit because I'm going into a sales meeting and I'm so scared and I don't know what to do. And in fact, I think it's one of the things that keeps people in full-time employment when they really would be more well-suited to consulting or entrepreneurship. Tell us about falling in love with sales, because I want you to help expand the vision of our listeners to learn what is there to fall in love with. Why was that?
Yeah, quite simply, sales is service. Sales is helping. Yes, there is an exchange of money and goods, but if you are put on this earth to help others and you believe that what you have can do that, there is a calling for you to make sure it gets into their hands. So Colleen Stanley wrote a book about emotional intelligence and sales. So if there's anyone listening who feels that call, Or, you know, Laura, you and I have been talking about the state of the world. If people are out of work, but they're highly qualified, and consulting is knocking on your door, but there's some sort of fear holding you back, and you don't see yourself as a salesperson, highly recommend this book by Colleen Stanley. And what she says, I believe she's talking about sales conversations, but she says, all it is, folks, is seek the truth and do the right thing.
Oh, God, that's, I actually have chills. That's, that's really powerful.
Yeah. So Laura, I only, because I am, I lead with empathy. I'm an introvert, actually, believe it or not. I like attracts like, right? So many of the amazing small business owners and entrepreneurs I work with would describe themselves in the same way. Not necessarily shy, but introspective. And they do not feel like Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross, you know, ABC always be closing. Like they're never going to be that.
Because that's what we think of when we think of sales.
I know. And gross. Ugh. Or, you know, I don't know, every bad, you know, female realtor. That's what comes to mind for me too. You know,
okay.
If you're owning your own business or hanging a shingle, you're a pushy lady. You know, that can be it too. But yeah, seek the truth and do the right thing. Get in there, find out what's going on. If it's in integrity and aligned for you to help, help.
Yeah. You would be doing a disservice not to help.
Sister, who are you not to is sort of the question. That's
wow.
The question. And, you know, like even with advertising, you know, in Vermont, driving around in my little car, walking into mom and pop shops, I want to know what's not going right at the feed store. You know, how can our audience help you do more of what you want to do in the world?
Now, Allison, this also brings up a point when you say do the right thing. I presume that means not everyone is for you and you're not for everyone, right? You have to kind of know who you're going after and who may be best suited to like a different type of offering or different type of service that maybe you don't want to provide. Is that accurate?
That is 110% accurate. You know, integrity is the name of the game. You know, I'm a firm believer in what you put out comes back to you tenfold. And so, you know, you have to lead with that integrity. I think another misconception about sales is that it's a pitch and not a conversation.
Oh, wow.
You know, and a lot of people are still doing that, right? So if you go into a potential client, or even if you're just having coffee with a potential client, and all you do is just say what you do and say, what do you think? There's no room for you to have a conversation to discover together whether you might be a good fit.
So you mentioned some interesting points. See, I actually thought, in knowing you, I thought, oh, maybe Allison is like pretty extroverted. But you said you're actually an introvert. And I know that there's a lot of people and brilliant people who are extroverted. I know there's a lot of brilliant people who are introverted. And so for the people who think to themselves, I'm too shy to do this, you know, I don't have the personality for it. You know, we look at all these kinds of excuses to get out of selling, right? So for someone who's saying, oh, I just don't have the personality for it, what's one piece of advice you can offer to them?
Well, the piece of advice I can offer to you is to sit down and write your top five strengths. Now, I don't know, Laura, if you're familiar with Gallup's, you know, Clifton Strengths Finder assessment. Every single one of my clients takes Clifton Strengths Finder.
Okay.
Because if you're leading, again, one of my top strengths is empathy. Others are connectedness. Others are positivity. Others, are, you know, whatever it is. Listen, your sales approach, process, style is not going to work unless it is 100% you. So the tip is, you don't need to take a fancy assessment if you don't want to. Sit down and write the top 3 to 5 attributes you have that just makes you you. And then start thinking about, well, what really is sales? And start to draw some conclusions. You know, if I am shy or I don't like to talk to 700 people at parties, I want to go and have one good, solid conversation. How can I lean into that? That means you're not going to go work a room. Maybe that means you need to start reaching out one-on-one to have more in-depth conversations with people.
I love that. I love that because the advice that a lot of us heard, well, I'm not going to say I was around in the 80s doing sales. That's a little premature. But my mom was in sales. And I remember a lot of the books she would give me were a lot of these 70s and 80s sales books. And a lot of them were like very masculine based, very push forward, very fake it until you make it. I hate that phrase. I don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. And what I love you explaining here is this is not about becoming someone you're not. This is about using your strengths to the benefit of your potential clients and to those sales conversations so they can feel natural. They don't feel phony. They don't feel fake. Allison, I love that.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to take this a step further and really talk about something a little more tactical, because there might be someone listening right now who's really in the throes of this, you know, really trying to figure out, especially in the world in 2020, you know, what does it mean to try to develop business? What's working right now, Laura, is something that I think you and I do quite naturally, and it doesn't necessarily come naturally to everyone, which is what I would call borrowing other people's audiences.
Mm.
You know, getting in front of potential people who care what you have to say, potential people you can help, and talking about what you love.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if for me, I'm an extroverted introvert, meaning I'm happy to talk to anybody. I don't mind a big crowded room full of people. I'm just going to have to go recover for 48 hours.
I'm with you. Yes, totally.
Right? Now, for people who are actually shy, who don't want to do that, your version of borrowing an audience might be guest blogging. You know, something that you can do that fills you up, that doesn't deplete your energy, because sales is equal parts tactical and energetic. And it doesn't work if you only have one or the other. You have to have both. I'm not going to sit here and be like, it's all kumbaya. And if you know your strengths, you're going to do it great. No, you got to know what a sales funnel is and you got to know how to work it. But you got to infuse it with what lights you up, fills you up, and makes you feel energetically ecstatic about it. Or you're not going to do it.
I love that. That's so great. So Allison, let me ask you this. Before we get into the sales conversation, because I do want to ask you about that. Can you talk to us? This is a question I have heard from people when I was doing marketing consulting, and people come and ask me, they say, how do you price yourself? How did you do it? How are you making these contracts? I don't get it. Talk to us about pricing. How do people know if they're getting it right, they're getting it wrong? What's a strategy we can approach that with in a more resourceful manner?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the honest truth is that there is no algorithm for pricing, period.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go buy a pair of shoes for $10 or $5, or you can buy a pair of shoes for $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, they're all shoes.
The function is similar.
Correct. And so I'm not even going to really attempt to give you here's what you got to keep in mind. You have to look around at the market and what the market will bear. What you're charging in New York City is not what you're going to charge in Burlington, Vermont, right? We know there's that kind of stuff. You got to see what your, I don't even want to say competition, what your colleagues are doing, right? Look around, open your eyes, do research, figure out what the range is for what you're selling, and then decide where you're at with that range. It depends on the volume. If you want more clients at a lower price, if you want fewer clients at a higher price, it is so individual. But here are the takeaways. Your pricing will change. I do not lose one ounce of sleep over my own pricing when I'm starting something new or for my clients. You just start somewhere that feels like you can make it happen.
Cool.
This might be totally unpopular with other sales consultants. They may be like, oh no, I have a formula. But you know what? Oh. Let's get real. Let's get real. You got to start somewhere, and I guarantee you in 6 months, it might look a little different, and that's okay. You got to be able to dance.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. You know, and that is so true, because when I was doing my consulting primarily with Silicon Valley Fortune 500, the pricing, we're looking at 5-6-figure contracts, and that's not a big deal. Okay.
Totally.
But in another market with a different type of customer, a different size, you may be looking at different pricing. And I love this idea of it's okay to try different pricing, start, see what you think you can do at this price. And then if you sell it out, I always said, Allison, if nobody ever came back to me and said, oh, like, let's talk about the pricing. If nobody ever said anything, it wasn't high enough.
Totally. Let's get tactical about this. If someone comes to me and says, oh, well, my close rate is 90%. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, you're too cheap then.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want you to. Because, God. I mean, listen, everybody is unique, but that's an indicator yes. that something's not right, actually.
That is, oh God, I hope people hear that. That is incredible. That means it's probably time to raise your rates. It's not always this idea of, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, and especially women that I meet, think that their value is based on how busy they are and how many hours they're working. And it's like, you don't have to work yourself into the ground to be paid well, folks. Absolutely. Listen to Allison.
Yeah, yes. Let's do away with this idea that your success is based on how many deals you close or how many clients you got this month. I'm actually more interested in how many new people did you meet. Mm. Out of all of those people, how many wanted to have a deeper conversation with you? Out of those, how many requested a proposal if that's what you're doing? And then how many said yes? I'm more interested in the health of your pipeline, because here is a hard fact right now. When the economy tanks out on us, it's really not the health of your pipeline. You know, there's charts you can look at for that. It's the health of your pipeline. It's how many people are you shaking hands with virtually every month, right? Two, all of those numbers matter, not just the number of dollars you got coming through the door.
I love that. And that harkens back to something that I heard Allie Brown say. I went to one of her, she had an iconic event. If anyone doesn't know Allie Brown, she's an incredible business coach. She did an event back in November of 2019. It's called Iconic. You sit in a room with people who are running 7- and 8-figure businesses. Now, I'm not running a 7- and 8-figure business, but you better believe I want to learn from them. Yeah. So I go to this event. And I'm major imposter syndrome being triggered, right? I'm like, oh my God, I'm not supposed to be here. And one of the first exercises we did is exactly what you're talking about. She said, what are the false metrics that you are actually thinking are really important to your business that don't matter at all?
Yes.
So I love that, Allison. You are just like, oh, I just absolutely love it. So I guess my next question for you is, all right, I'm starting to build my pipeline. I'm starting to have sales conversations, or I booked one or I booked a few and I am, you know, terrified. How do I open the conversation?
Yeah.
What do I do? How do I start?
Yeah. So my approach for having sales conversations is highly consultative. And to make it easier for you, I'm going to give you an acronym.
Okay.
I'm going to give you the word align, A-L-I-G-N, because that's what we want to do. We want to align with the person. And like you mentioned earlier, make sure that we're actually a good fit for one another.
Right.
And so I'm going to knock this right off for you. You're going to ask questions. You're going to listen for pain points. You're going to inspire them, start to solve those issues. So inspire and solve. You're going to get feedback. Now ask for the sale. A-L-I-G-N.
And you can't be afraid to ask for the sale.
No, if you have what I would call a complex sale, maybe you're selling to a company, as Laura, you were selling, you know, Fortune 500.
Yeah, I'm selling
companies.
To Fortune 500. Yeah.
Yeah. If you asked for the sale in some of these meetings, you'd look like a fool. Like you, because there are many people who need to be involved in this decision. It's maybe a multi-part conversation or sales process, right? So you can't always say, so you're ready to sign on the dotted line. You know, no, sometimes asking for the sale is actually asking for an advance in the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's understanding, what does this person who hopefully has fallen in love with me during a sales conversation, you know,
how
what do they need to do? Yeah, of course.
How could they not?
Right. They become your internal champion.
You yes.
know, folks may have heard that, right? But once you have an internal champion who asks for a proposal, please hear me.
Oh boy, she's about to lay it down.
Please. For years, it was like if I got asked for a proposal, I did a celebratory dance. And that is BS, because your internal champion asking for a proposal means nothing if you don't know. And sometimes if your internal champion doesn't know internally, who needs to sign off on this? What does the buying process look like? Do I need to become a vendor? What is the time frame?
Yes, yes,
listen, sister, I tell all of my clients, you are not to write a proposal. until you know and you have mapped with your internal champion exactly the steps that you will go from proposal to close. If you have not talked about a ballpark budget, you are not to waste any of your time or energy putting together a proposal until you have some agreement that you're on the same page.
Oh my God.
What this might look like, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And so, and I love what you talk about next steps. Sometimes the next step when I was in a sales conversation with a really big company is, who else do we need to talk to?
Correct.
Who else needs to be brought in? You're not doing the proposal. And I want to tell a big mistake I made, okay? Because this will help the audience. It's my biggest deal. Biggest deal. We're talking multi-six-figure contract. We do the proposal. We get the proposal signed. And do you want to know what happens next?
Oh my God, what?
She doesn't have the authorization to sign off on that purchase.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
No.
We have a legal document that has been signed and she doesn't have authorization to sign off. The work begins. And I spent with that company 3 months trying to get paid. And I did get paid. But it went through about 20 different people getting kicked around. And that was a big mistake on my part. And so I say that to anyone listening, just like Allison said, even if you get that proposal, hey, that's great. Maybe you've moved to next step, but don't be running, you know, too far ahead, right? Proposals don't mean you get contracts. I've written plenty of proposals that do not get signed and agreed to. They're premature. They're outside of the ballpark. People are like, what the F is this? You know, so I love that, Allison.
Two things. Number one, in a best case scenario, the best case scenario is that a proposal is a confirmation of what has already been all but agreed to. That's the best case. It doesn't always happen. We can't always get there, but that's the goal. The second thing I want to say is that I'm so glad you shared that particular example because I'm going to ask you, I want to hear from you in a second, I'm going to guess that your internal champion got in a lot of hot water for that, number one. Number two, what I find most of the time, because we're talking about, you know, again, leading with empathy, slightly introverted, I don't want anyone to ever think that I'm stepping on their toes. But what I have found literally 10 times out of 10 is that if the internal champion's like, yes, I want to move this forward, I flip over my piece of paper and I start drawing a map of what needs to happen, who needs to be talked to, what does this look like? They are never put off by that. They're never offended. They are grateful.
Because you actually sound like a professional.
Yeah, and you're helping them not helping get in them. Trouble signing exactly. legal documents that they're going to get in trouble for, right?
Yeah, that was a very, very, yes. I think they had egg on their face.
And you know what
was, what's worse is that when you start doing the work, now you're actually bound. You know, I have recourse to sue you if I don't get paid. And so it was probably one of the most challenging contracts that I've ever worked because of these problems. And guys, don't make that mistake. Gals, don't make that mistake.
Totally. Because it's energetically, we only want to be in places where we're wholeheartedly welcome with open arms.
Yeah.
That's working under duress as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it was very stressful.
That's not what we're going for. Oh, thanks for sharing that because that's exactly the kind of thing that can happen. If, you know, we call that leading the buying process, right?
You don't know that term.
Leader. Yeah, you want to lead it, even though it might seem like, ooh, that's not my job or I don't want to step on anyone's toes. You're actually doing a great service to your internal champion and their constituents there at the company. But as far as sales conversations, you know, the biggest things to remember are listen more than you speak. This is your opportunity, right? To understand and uncover the pain points, the challenges of what's not working.
Yep.
And to not be afraid to stick around in that pain, to find where the real urgency and motivation is to buy.
Oh, I love that.
Because most of us who are consultants or entrepreneurs are in the business of making people feel better.
Right.
And so it feels uncomfortable to get people to state and stay in their pain long enough to understand the consequences of not taking care of it. As I said earlier, who are you not to if you have the solution?
Exactly. If you can help.
Yeah. Who are you not to?
Right. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, Allison, we could talk for hours.
I know I could.
But I want our audience to learn more about you. I want them to really take advantage of all that you offer. So tell the audience, how can they learn more about Allison Davis?
I think the best thing to do is to hit me up on my website, which is allison-davis.com. allison-davis.com. There's going to be a couple things for you there. Number one, you can grab my Align guide. So if you are about to have some sales conversations, it has absolutely everything you need to know. And secondly, I host a free sales roundtable every single month. So if you've got a burning sales question, or maybe you're transitioning to do some of your own thing, come and join and get your questions answered. Great community, good conversation, and the next best sales step you need to take.
I love it, Allison. Thank you so much for joining us on Brave by Design.
Thank you for having me.
I want to thank you for joining me, and remember to subscribe through your favorite app so you can stay up to date. And I would love your review. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a review and comment on Apple Podcasts. You can also keep in touch with me online. You can find me on LinkedIn, and I'm also on Instagram at Force of Badassery. All that information will be available in the show notes. Until next time, stay brave.